Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, December the 16th, 2025. 12:16, 25, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program here on WGH Talk. It is another cold December morning, but it looks as if as the day goes along today, the temperatures are going to get a little warmer. Now, I want to tell you about a little experience I had this morning before we get the show started here. Now, as many of you know, there have been water problems in Marion the last two or three days. Now, Aqua has said everything's fine. We have to wait a few days for the water taste and smell to get back to normal. But to be honest with you, I have not experienced an odd taste or smell in anything that I have drank in the last two or three days. And I even went to McDonald's yesterday morning on Route 95. They had their fountain drinks. It tasted fine to me. I had one in the studio yesterday morning. I went to the Duke Station on Route 95 out by James Way. Got a drink there last night before I went to City Council. It tasted fine. No problems at all. Well, I'll tell you where the problem started. The problem started this morning. So this morning I'm driving here to the station, and I go to McDonald's on Route 95, and the first thing they say to me is, all they have is milk. Now, I'm thinking this is odd, because the water problem allegedly started on Saturday, and they had pop yesterday morning, but now all of a sudden they have is all they have it at McDonald's on Route 95 is milk. So I think, well, this is strange. So I get out of the line and I figure, well, there's some more places up the street here. Burger King is open, Wendy's is open, where I don't have to get out of the car in the freezing temperatures and I can still get a pop. So I go to Wendy's, and Wendy's does have pop, large diet Coke. Thank you very much. It costs about three times as much as Wendy's, but you know, you have to pay the price sometimes. So I get the large diet soda at Wendy's, and I take a sip as I'm pulling out of the Wendy's parking lot, which cost, again, I'd like to say this again, three times as much as the McDonald's pop cost yesterday, which tasted fine. And immediately I noticed that this pop at Wendy's has a very odd taste. So, maybe it's me. You know, it's the morning, and it's Wendy's, it's not McDonald's, it might taste a little different. So I drive here to the station, I get inside, I taste it again, take a little sip. There's definitely something wrong with the taste. It's just a little off. It's not horribly off, but it's just a little off. And I realize there's no drinking this, because you know, syrup and stuff they use to make water, a fountain drink, a Diet Coke, and whatever is going on with this water, it's not a good mix in the morning. It's not what you want going into your mouth and down your throat while you're doing a live radio program this morning. And I thought, this is just not my thing. So I go into the restroom here to dump the soda down the sink. And as I dump it down the sink, then I smelled the odor that people had been talking about. It's not a horrible odor, but there definitely is an odor there you normally don't have with water. And it went down the drain, and I'm washing out the cup because I think, well, I'm going to use the cup. And then I realize I'm washing out the cup with the water that's in the city that people seem to have a problem with that might stink or have a bad taste, because I did have about half of a 2-liter of Diet Pepsi here at the station that I could pour into the cup. But now I'm thinking, I don't want any remnant of this water in this cup. So I throw the cup away. I throw the straw away and everything involved with it. We do have cups here at the station. That's one thing that we do have, cups, plates, and napkins. I got myself a cup. I had to get a new cup out, and now I'm just drinking soda that was already here at the station, which is a little warm. But it came out of a 2-liter, and I think it was from last Friday, so it's okay. But the point of this is, I found myself in McDonald's line this morning, no dice there, only milk. Then I went down to Wendy's and I paid 3 times as much for a Diet Pepsi. So that did not turn out well at all because I couldn't drink that at all. And then I had to dump it out, and now I've got lukewarm Diet Pepsi here at the station. But that's the way it goes. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And as we go down the line here this morning at WGH Talk, we're going to kick off this morning with one of our holiday traditions. There are certain things we do every year here at WGH Talk. One of those things is we visit with the Y-Men and learn about the live Christmas tree sales going on here during the holiday season. We visit with Pat Cook in Santa Claus, Indiana, where Santa Claus gets all his mail. By the way, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. You still have time to get a letter off to Santa Claus, and you will get a letter back from him. But one of the other things we've been doing since 2016 is visiting with our friend who's on the line today, and I'm so glad to have him. He was the first African-American Santa ever at the legendary Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was a big, big thing. He always comes on every year. We discuss the meaning of Christmas and what all of this has meant to him. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones to kick off this morning, just about a week away from Christmas. It wouldn't be Christmas around here without our friend, Santa Larry Jefferson. Santa, how are you?
Merry Christmas! I'm doing fantastic. And how are you in the great state of Ohio?
We are doing great. A little chilly around here this morning, but we're doing okay. Where are you, Santa Larry?
Right now, I have landed in Dallas, Texas, preparing to check out the naughty and nice list to see how children are doing here in Texas.
Very nice. Now, what has your holiday season looked like this year? How many places have you been?
Oh, my goodness. I've been to Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Beverly Hills, New York, Chicago, because I'm Santa Claus there at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is another historical point. And it's called Griffin Museum of Science and Industry. I'm going to make that correction. And then, of course, I've been to the largest mall in the United States, which is Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Now, Santa, as you go around the country, is Santa Claus greeted in different parts of the country than others, or is it pretty much the same thing?
Oh, it's pretty much so the same thing, you know, because children recognize me as Santa Claus sometimes. Even when I'm wearing my blue suit, you know, because I still have a job to do. And I had, just the other day, I had a child come up to me and give me a piece of paper. We're sitting in the Olive Garden restaurant, and her parents came over and was like, "We're so sorry. We're so sorry to interrupt your dinner, but my daughter thinks you're Santa Claus." And I said, "Well, I am." It was so funny. And come to find out, I had recently visited that child's elementary school. Oh. And she recognized me. I did not have on a Santa suit. I was just sitting down eating my soup and salad at the Olive Garden.
It must be a wonderful thing to be greeted by children in that way, even when you don't have the Santa suit on.
It is. It really is. And that's why I try to tell people in workshops that I host that it's important that you're nice to everyone. Everyone. Because you never know who is going to come up to you and greet you.
You know, Santa Larry, I think back to the first time we talked. It was 2016. You're still doing the Mall of America in Minneapolis. But it was a huge story that year, 2016, that you were the first African-American Santa ever to be hired by the Mall of America. And it got a lot of conversation started in the country about the color of Santa's skin and so on and so forth. When you look back on that now, it's been 9 years. What do you make of that?
Oh, my gosh. I was just reflecting last night because some of these memories are popping up in my on my timeline on Facebook and Instagram and so forth. And I was like, wow, I look like that, now look at me now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't really. I knew it stirred up a lot of people, but I just keep it moving, because my parents always told me to ignore ignorance and just keep it moving and to keep my eyes on the prize and continue to pray and be faithful to my Almighty God. And that's what I try to do.
What do you think it was about that particular event that made it such a news story?
Well, we had just had a volatile election. I call it a volatile election, with the current president taking over from Barack Obama, and everybody had already spilled all the hate in the air and things of that nature. And then when this popped up, it was like, oh my gosh, what? But as I told the media and the people, my team there in Minnesota, in Bloomington, Minnesota, at Mall of America, it's not about color with me, because I'm a retired Army captain. I'm a retired infantry officer. And I tell them, guys, lead with the story that we just hired a retired Army veteran. Because everybody loves patriotism, you know what I mean? And that's how we were able to help soften the blow. But at the same time, I try to use my personality, my kindness, and my joy in singing and try to help bring out the joy in all.
That year, when you were that first year, Santa Claus there at the Mall of America, was there any reaction from any of the kids or parents about this?
Oh, the reaction was they loved it. Some people were saying it's about time, and since I've been on the scene as Santalaria, Santa Claus, and keep in mind, Scott, I've been doing this not only since 1999, but as far back as 1975, when I was 11 years old.
Well, tell people how that happened.
My dad came home one Christmas Eve, and he was down in his back. He was a World War II veteran and a Korean War veteran, and every now and then his back would give out on him for various injuries. And so he had me. He honked the little car horn, beep beep, or truck. Had my mom to come out. My mom came out, then she came and got me. And they brought me out to the truck. My dad said then, he says, Larry, I said, yes, sir. He said, I need a favor. And I said, what's that, Dad? He says, I need for you to be Santa Claus. And, me being a kid at 11 years old in a little country town in Arkansas, in them backwoods, I started laughing. My dad says, Larry, I'm being serious. He says, I need for you to help me in the house, and then when all these kids come out, when all the kids go to bed, your mom will put all the kids to bed, you're going to come out here to this truck, get the toys out, bring them to the house quietly. You're going to go to the barn, get the bicycles, and move them into the house. And I said, for real? He's like, yes. He said, I'm Santa Claus, and your mom's Mrs. Claus. And once again, as a child, I laughed, and I kind of figured out they were very serious. And they told me all the what to do and everything. And I come from a large family, and so we did all that. And by the time I finished with all the toys moving and things of that nature, the kids were all asleep and nieces and nephews were all at our house. My mother said to me, she says, Larry, you're going to be a great Santa Claus one day. And she spoke those words over me, and I laughed and so forth on it. And I live by those words. Those words help make me who I am today as far as being Santa Claus. And like I say, I did Santa Claus for my family all throughout the years, growing up and so forth on. And it's what helped shape me today. And I love being Santa Claus.
What is it about being Santa Claus that you love so much?
It's the fact that it brings so much joy to others. I mean, I was in a parade here in Duncanville, Texas. I did a parade in Lancaster, Texas. I've done Jack and Jill Christmas events. It just brings so much joy to others, make them smile, make them happy. And just to see the children's eyes light up with them giving me their Christmas list and telling me everything they want, and the parents going along with it, it is so much fun, It just brings hope to people's lives, and I enjoy that.
Santa, Larry, there are two things I want to cover here this morning. First is, what are kids asking for this holiday season?
Children are asking for Paw Patrol, bicycles, a football. Some kids want just clothes. Some kids ask for iPhones, iPads. Oh, my gosh. I had one child ask for a Bible. And I says, "How old are you?" "I'm 7, Santa." "And you want a Bible?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Yes." I said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do." His parents nodded, and therefore it means that child's going to get a Bible. I said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do."
You know, Santa Larry, that's very interesting because you've talked about your religious background. We talked about this child wanting a Bible, but yet asking Santa Claus for a Bible. A lot of people cannot hold Santa Claus and Christmas trees and the religious aspect of the holiday in the same mindset. How do you meld the two together?
Well, I tell people, I'm just an ambassador to Christmas. Keep in mind, I was in the chaplain corps my last 5 years in the military. I did chaplain assistance, helping the chaplain and so forth on. But I'm just an ambassador to Christmas. I tell children about the goodness of the Lord in ways. And also, I remind them to listen to their parents, help around the house, clean up their room, eat their vegetables, brush their teeth, do good in school, and say their prayers every night. "Can you do that for Santa?" And they always say, "Yeah." I said, "If you do that for Santa, you'll stay on the nice list." Oh, yes, they're on it. I had one parent's son said, "Well, Santa, I don't know how to pray." And he cried and cried, and I was like, "Oh, Lord, oh, my gosh." And the parents told me, I was like, "Well, Santa, we're not a religious family." I said, "Okay, well, just do the best you can." You know, and so they came back to me and told me that. 2 weeks later, came back and said, "Little Johnny is doing good in school. We found a pastor and did some counseling, and his school grades has improved. He's doing good, and he wants to pray over everything, breakfast, lunch, dinner, his homework, every project." I thought, "Oh, my gosh, little Johnny's going to become a preacher one day."
And it came out of Christmas and Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Not too bad at all. Santa Larry, in all the years you've been doing this, is there an experience that sticks out in your mind, maybe a funny experience and also an emotional experience that you've had with a child?
Oh, I have so many different experiences with children. And children are unpredictable because they will say anything. You know, I had one child this season says to me, "Santa Claus, that's what would you like for Christmas?" And the child parents were standing right there, and this child said and starts crying, says, "Santa, I want my mom and dad to stop arguing." So I looked over at the mom and dad, and they were like, "Oh my gosh," their mouth were open. And I said, "Say that one more time. I want my mom and dad to stop arguing." And I said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do." So I looked over at the parents again. Says, "Mom and Dad, little Johnny wished for Christmas that you guys stop arguing." And the mother and dad both were just flabbergasted. They were like, "Oh, my God." And so I said, "I'll see what I can do. And Mom and Dad, can y'all do that for little Johnny?" And both of them nodded their heads. I said, "Okay, great. That's a start." You know? And I've had one child to say, "Santa Claus, can you come to our house and stay with us?" I says, "You want me to come to your house and stay with you?" "Yes, sir." And I says, why do you want me to come to your house and stay with you?" "That's what Santa Claus, we want you to be our daddy." Oh, I was like, oh, you want me to be your daddy?" The mother says, "Children," these are twin girls, says, "Children, your daddy's at home." "Well, Santa Claus is our daddy. We'll get more toys." Oh, my gosh. That was so funny to me.
They had it all worked out there.
Yeah.
Santa Larry, because we're on radio here, if people were to see you dressed up as Santa Claus, what would they see?
They would see a gorgeous, white-bearded, African-American Santa Claus that they've never seen before. I have personality. I have talent. I sing. I can't sing today because I've got this flu cold going on. And but not just that, I have a good heart. I carry Christmas in my heart every day, and you'll see it when you're around me. You know, I keep the joy, the love, the laughter, the hope, the spirit of Christ in me. I try to do that every day, and my friend at work sees it.
Well, when you look back at that whole Mall of America hullabaloo that happened 9 years ago now, it obviously will be something you'll be remembered for. Most sites here in the Santa Claus Hall of Fame mention that as a big moment in your life. How do you hope people remember you?
I just want people to remember that I'm just a normal person like they are, who loves to bring joy, hope, and happiness to people. Yes, I'm a veteran. Yes, I've served my country for many years, and I just want to be remembered as a person who loved people. Yeah. Not only do I love my Lord, I love my people, all people, all children of all colors and races, ethnicity, background. It doesn't matter. And I always try to tell people that Santa Claus doesn't have a color. Anybody can be Santa Claus. All you need to do is buy a red suit, or anybody can be Mrs. Claus as well. Buy you something red, put it on, and start spreading joy with your family. And that's how I started, was with my own family.
And a lot of people will be portraying Santa Claus this holiday season. What is your advice in a minute or two on how to be a good Santa if you're asked to be Santa at the Christmas party, the office Christmas party, or something like that? What makes a good Santa?
Oh, wow. Have some joy. Have some joy. Be joyful. Be joyful. Be joyful. I tell people this all the time. Be joyful. Be joyful. Be joyful. And treat all the children the same. And after you do that, never promise anything. Because we know that the presents, I know where the presents come from. Not only do I make the presents, the parents also help with the presents. You know what I mean? And so, if a child asks me for an iPhone, I always look at the parents. If the parents nod their heads, I will still quote these words: I'll see what I can do. Mm. I never say, oh, yes, I'll get you that iPhone. I always say, I will see what I can do. Because you never know what a family situation is like.
That's so right.
As I was growing up as a poor child in Arkansas, I circled everything under the sun in my Sears catalog, my JCPenney, my Montgomery Ward's magazines with all them toys. I circled everything. But I will always get at least one present. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You always get something. We got about 5 minutes left here, Santa Larry. A few questions I want to get in. What does Santa Claus mean to you? What that term, that word, that person, what does that mean to you?
Santa Claus is, you're encompassing a spirit of good hope, good will to all man and mankind, you know, being nice, courtesy to others. To help bring joy and love and hope and happiness into others' lives. Even now, it is cold outside, and I see homeless people standing on the street with cardboard boxes saying they need money, they're hungry, and things of that nature. So, you know, I know some cities have these laws where they say there's no panhandling, but you know what? I break the law sometime, and I will give them a $10 bill or something of that nature. The decision that they use that money for is up to them. You know, I cannot judge. I just give willingly and just pray their prayer after I leave and say, Lord, help these people use this money in the right way. In your son's holy name, that's all I ask for, because I'm going to give it to them, because it's 24 degrees outside and they're standing outside saying they're hungry. Maybe. Sometimes I'll give more than that, you know, and encourage them to get a hotel room for the night if they're not staying in a shelter. You know, so it's different things like that at Santa Claus.
Yep, the season of giving and the goodwill toward men and women as well. Santa Larry, a couple minutes left here. You talked about the Sears catalog, Montgomery Ward, and certainly Christmas has changed over the years. We now have Cyber Monday instead of Black Friday. A lot fewer people go to malls than used to see Santa Claus. Now they get phone calls from Santa Claus through the internet. How do you think Christmas has changed in your lifetime, in your time of doing this?
It's the same as it was in the 1800s, fast forward to the 1900s, fast forward to 2000s, and so forth on. We're always going to have change. Our lives are always going to get better, whether you believe it or not. There's always going to be technology increasing and improving in everything. And that's just the way it is in the world. We have smart, intelligent people out here who are creating everything. Look what they're doing with AI. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's going to be all kinds of great things that come out. And I think it's good. It's good. Everything changes. You know what I mean? Look in the 1800s. Look in the early 1900s. Things have gotten better. The automobile went from horse and buggy to Model T Fords. Now we're into Lexus and Toyotas and Buicks and Cadillacs and everything else. So things will always get better.
Change is constant, but Christmas is forever.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Santa Larry, before I let you go, and I know you said you were under the weather there with a cold, but it's kind of become a tradition that you sing a little bit of something. Could you give us just a little, not a whole song or anything of that nature, but just a little something to leave us in the Christmas spirit?
Oh, of course. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in Santa Larry's sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride with Scott in my sleigh.
Santa Larry Jefferson, it wouldn't be Christmas without you. I love your voice, I love your personality, and I've loved the last 9 years, and we're going to continue to do it until the end of time.
All right. Take care. Many blessings. Love you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Santa Larry Jefferson, one of our traditions around here, and we've been doing that now for 9 years, ever since he was the first African-American Santa at the Mall of America in 2016. How about that? All right, 39 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say? Hey, 15 degrees here in Marion. It's a virtual heat wave right now. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz after my little pop water rant at the start of the program. I do have to mention, we also now, I'm guessing this is, I don't think it's 5 foot, but it's probably 4.5 foot. We've got a 4.5 foot to 5 foot Grinch in the studio now. It's a balloon, but it's a very colorful Grinch balloon. It looks like a stand-up Grinch. This thing may be 5 foot. I don't know. It's very tall. It's very Christmassy. And as I look across the desk here, I see two Christmas trees. Well, three Christmas trees, really. We have ornaments. We have the Grinch box that came from McDonald's. We have a Santa Claus over there. And now we have this nearly 5 foot Grinch sitting here in the studio. So I'll tell you, it looks like Christmas has exploded across from me here at WGH Talk. 740-383-9944. Well, last night was a city council committee meeting, and to be honest with you, I don't know that anything happened of any great significance last night, but it was a very, it was kind of a convoluted night, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody really understood. I don't know if anybody knows what's going on now, because the two main stories out of last night. Now, apparently, Councilman Thaddeus Smith, who represents the 5th Ward, had some conversation with the Marion County Commissioners trying to get the senior center better funded for the upcoming year, and so they're trying to get the mayor in talks with the county commissioners to help fund the senior center. So that's a very good thing, and I applaud Thad Smith for doing that. But who knows where that's going to go. But that got started last night. Now, that'll have to go on to council. And then something else I didn't understand. Apparently, the city wants to do this Christmas lights bus tour again, which is a very nice thing, but what I'm confused about is I guess they have raised the money to do the Christmas lights bus tour now, but city council has to appropriate that money next Monday, because last night was not a full city council meeting. So if they appropriate it next Monday, or accept it, or whatever you want to say, Christmas Eve is Wednesday, so the only night you could do this would be Tuesday. So I don't know if they're already going to schedule that Christmas light bus tour. I don't know why it's happening so late this year, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I've missed something, and maybe they're only going to do it once, but maybe it took a time to raise the money. I really don't understand, but there may be a Christmas lights bus tour. It sounds like there's going to be, and that was because of the generosity of a lot of sponsors that will get together and make that happen. So there's that. There was a little talk about the budget last night, but not really a big conversation about it, because the people on the Finance Committee, last night it was Aaron Rollins and Ayers Ratliff, nobody can seem to understand exactly what has happened. That City Council threw out the budget from 2 weeks ago in $14 million budget. They threw it out, and now they're passing a quarter of some budget, but nobody really knows what budget that is, because the original budget was thrown out. And this is out of the mouth of Ayers Ratliff and Aaron Rollins, the people on the Finance Committee last night. They're not really sure what budget they're passing. I'm not sure if City Council could tell you what budget they're passing. Very odd situation. But that's what happened last night. Feel free to give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. That was kind of a bizarre meeting last night of Marion City Council. So that was kind of the story on that. I don't know where that's going to go or what's going to happen with that, or if there's going to be any drama involved there. There always seems to be a little bit of drama, doesn't there? But that's basically it. I don't know anything else really that was of great significance last night. So that seemed to be it. But if anybody's got anything to say, 740-383-9944. I almost feel like this Grinch across the room now is watching me. You know, he's got yellow eyes, and he's all green, and he's got his Santa Claus suit on, red and white, so he may be watching me. I don't know really what's going on over there with the Grinch in the studio. And we've got his cookies here on the table, which we talked about yesterday, the chocolate chip Grinch cookies right here on the table. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, yesterday you talked about Rob Reiner a lot.
Yes.
Did you see what our president said about Rob Reiner?
I did, and you know what? I will read that. Let me read what President Trump said. And we now know that Rob Reiner was stabbed to death on Sunday. He and his wife were stabbed to death. Most likely, we don't know, though. I mean, he's charged. We don't know.
My wife said supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly. But here is what President Trump said yesterday morning at 9:51 a.m. Here's the Truth Social. A very sad thing happened in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away, together with his wife, Michelle. Reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump, with his obvious paranoia reaching new heights as the Trump administration surpassed all goals and expectations of greatness, and with the golden age of America upon us. perhaps like never before. May Rob and Michelle rest in peace. And there was a big backlash to this, but President Trump doubled down yesterday in the Oval Office. Here's the story on that. Trump doubled down on his controversial remarks regarding Reiner refusing to back away from them when asked by reporters in the Oval Office on Monday. "Well, I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned." That was his quote. Another quote from Trump yesterday in the Oval Office. "The Russia hoax, he was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself career-wise. He became like a deranged person. Trump derangement syndrome. So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all in any way, shape, or form. I thought he was very bad for our country."
Well, we didn't expect anything different from our old president, did we?
Well,
you know, the sad fact of it is, our kids are watching this. And what does that say to our kids when the President of the United States is talking like that?
Well, I think it's just, whether people like Rob Reiner or not, the man was murdered on Sunday. And most likely by his son, stabbed to death. And that's what happened. I mean, that's what he was killed from. I'm not sure what the president's talking about here. Trump derangement syndrome, and that's what killed him, and all this other stuff. I don't know why you would trash somebody within 24 hours of their death. If you did that in normal life, if the guy you worked with down the line was stabbed to death on Sunday and you came in Monday saying how much you didn't like him, they would probably beat you and throw you out of work. I mean, I don't think this is political. I don't know why you would do that. I think it's just bad taste.
You know, it shows a sick mind. And what gets me is, I call in and talk about stuff like this, and I try to get people's response, but nobody will call in and say what Trump did was wrong. Nobody.
Well, I don't think I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene did speak out against it yesterday.
Well, I'm talking about our listeners here. You know, nobody will call in and say that was not right.
Well, my guess is most of the listeners do not agree with this. I can't imagine they would. I don't know why they would.
Well, if people just don't start speaking out, we're going to have that guy for 3 more years. And I don't know, you know, what they want to happen before they say, "I want him out of here." I don't know.
Well, you know, clearly he and Rob Reiner did not see eye to eye. Rob Reiner did spend a lot of money supporting the Democratic Party. I guess what is bothersome about this is that, I mean, the man had not even been dead 24 hours. And you would say this has nothing to do with policy. Rob Reiner was not a politician. And I'm not sure...
Rob Reiner was not threatening. Even though Rob Reiner was a little critical of Donald Trump, he was not threatening him. I didn't know Rob Reiner was that critical of Donald Trump until, you know, this incident happened.
Yeah, he would go on the shows.
He Robert De Niro, you know, a lot. But, you know, I never seen anything from Rob Reiner, so...
Rob would go on the shows. I saw him on shows critical of President Trump.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it, but... Even that, what... How can he do that much harm to somebody? You know, if you ignored it, you'd be better off than making your stupid comments.
Well, that's what's odd about this, to be honest with you. The second comment he was asked about. But the first thing he said, his reaction, nobody even asked him. He just put it out there on his Truth Social. So I guess I'm not sure why you would do that. If somebody asks you, then you know what, it's fair game, and if you give an answer that's inappropriate, you know, well, I guess you were asked. But nobody even asked him. So I'm not sure why you would do that. I don't know. You know, whatever. People have to live with themselves, and people have to decide what is
if you don't speak out, you got to live with it.
Well, yes, but
if
I mean,
you voted for the man, you got to live with it. And to me, whether you was wrong when you voted or what, it's high time to speak up and get the buffoon out of there that wants to tear. We're lucky the rest of the White House is standing. And how much you want to bet the people that bulldozed that, knocked that down for Trump, how much you want to bet they haven't got paid yet?
Well, we're from one of our listeners out here this morning. What would you expect? Would you expect any different from a malignant narcissist? This is pretty on brand for Trump at this point. Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you say people aren't speaking out. Well, they're speaking out this morning.
Yep. You know, I applaud that person for speaking out because, you know, if we don't keep speaking out, things are just going to get worse. We're going to get into a war. He wants to invade Venezuela. And Europe, they're all getting together and, you know, talking. They're afraid that Russia will want to take more land, and they're also afraid of Trump invading, like he's talked about Greenland and some of those places and Canada.
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, it was an interesting moment. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open. 53 coming up on 54 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in and say anything on any topic this morning. Started with Santa Larry Jefferson, who's always a lot of fun here, gave us a nice rendition of Jingle Bells, which I appreciated. 740-383-9944. You know, here's the thing. You can support President Trump. It's America. You can vote for whoever you want to vote for. I don't think that's the issue here. You can like his policies. You can dislike his policies. Whatever your deal is. But I just don't know why anybody would put out a message like that within 24 hours of a husband and wife being stabbed to death and their son being implicated in the stabbing, and you weren't even asked about it. I don't know why you would do that. I don't understand. And you know what? As I said, what is very strange about this is because it's political, people seem to think, well, okay. Well, you know what? If that happened in your own neighborhood, you would not think that was okay. If somebody said that about your neighbor who was stabbed to death the day before and his wife was stabbed to death, I don't think that would be your reaction. And I don't think you would take kindly to somebody who had that reaction. And it's unfortunate. And I wasn't even going to read that I don't even know what it's called, I guess statement by President Trump, because I think it just, if people hear it again, what can you say? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And unfortunately, this is why people will always dislike him. I mean, it's no shock why people dislike the president. You know, I think had he came in like any other president and tried to implement his policies and gave speeches and tried to do what he was going to do, you know, that's one thing. People will like some of that. People will dislike some of that. But when you do stuff like this, you're always going to be disliked by a certain group of people because people just don't find it normal. They just don't find that behavior normal. And hopefully it never becomes normal, because hopefully we don't treat each other people, treat others that way. You know, Rob Reiner and his wife are gone, but his family's still here. He's got daughters that are still here. I believe he's got brothers and sisters who are still here. So it's just a horrible, horrible thing. But you know what? There you go. Should anything shock us at this point? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we've got the Grinch in the studio staring me down from across the desk here. We've got the Rob Reiner story. We've got, well, I'll tell you, not much time to talk about this here, 3 minutes, but I did talk about the whole Aqua situation. It's interesting to me, the feedback on this. Now, as I said yesterday, I have told you what Aqua has told me. And that's about the best I can do at this point. You know, you go in, you talk to the people. It's interesting how many conspiracy theories there are out there about the water right now. Now, I'm not saying that they're wrong. I don't know. I'm not a water expert. But, again, that does scare people. Now, do people need to be scared of what's going on with the water? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But I don't know why Aqua would want to endanger so many people when they could just simply say, don't drink the water. Or they could say, boil the water before you drink it. We had an issue. I don't know why this is happening. And the problem, and the reason why I call these conspiracy theories, is because there's not really any hardcore proof. People will say, well, this is what this means, and this is what happened in another place, and so on and so forth. And that may all be factual, but it's not proof of what has happened here in Marion with the water. And if they are able to get above freezing temperatures and flush the hydrants here, I don't know that there is going to be a problem. Are there any cases of people being taken to the hospital for something with this water? Some kind of effect of this water? If there are, I think we should be talking about that. But to my knowledge, that has not happened. So I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people have drunken. I'm sure a lot of people have tasted this water, ingested it. I'm sure a lot of people have taken showers in it. I'm sure a lot of people have cooked with it. Are people getting sick? And if they are, we need to know. But if they aren't, then I'm not sure that we should be scaring people like this. I don't know. Again, the world we live in, social media, everybody's a journalist, and anybody can say what they like. I hope it's okay. I hope the water's okay. Our Aqua's going to be in a lot of trouble. I guess we'll find out as the days go along. All right, we're going to take a quick break here and come back with more program right after this short but important timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Your place for holiday fun. Legendary watermelon-smashing comedian Gallagher telling his favorite holiday